Take your Bible, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read three verses in unison tonight, all together, verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. And let's read all three verses out loud together. You ready? Matthew 19:13. Ready? Here we go. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed hence. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, let us have a sweet truth that we'll take with us, and yet a reminder about you and your love for us, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Friday, of course, was my grandmother's funeral. Let me rephrase that. My grandmother's celebration. It was not a sad time. I can't tell you that we didn't have some tears and have some sorrow, but it wasn't a morbid time in any way. And I honestly have not grieved it. I have not mourned it. I have kind of known it was coming. And when I talked to her a week ago, before she passed away, I knew it wasn't going to be long. And honestly, I was pleased. I was at peace that she was at peace. Her living was struggle. And it got to the point where it was too much struggle. And her last words, I said, Grandma, I said, you don't sound like you're feeling well. She said, I don't. I said, well, I want to see you again, but if I don't see you here, I'll see you in the air. She said, I'll see you there. And I said, well, I love you. And she said, I know, and I love you too. And we hung up. That's the last thing I said to her. And I knew then. I had no doubt at all, and I was fine with it. But when we got to the funeral home, we were at a Schneebeckers. Schneeburgers. That's a good Irish name. He was Jewish. Schneeburgers. And of course, no body, and I'm talking about the physical body in death, does not look like it did when it was living. Especially somebody of that age. You know, the wrinkles are gone. Shoot, I haven't seen my grandmother without wrinkles in 40 years, you know. And it's just the way it is. And just some things just, and it did not look like her. Her hair was done. And that was a good thing because she would have had a fit otherwise. And it didn't really look much like her, but I walked up to the casket and I know it sounds funny, but I looked at her hands. And those were Grandma's hands. And I knew those hands. I touched those cold, dead hands. And I knew that she was not there. It was just a shell. But those were the hands that used to cook. Those were the hands that used to make 7-Up and root beer and Coke floats. Those were the hands that cleaned and scrubbed paint off walls. Those were the hands that you just, when my wife and I and my daughter were there in August, my daughter was taking pictures and I couldn't figure out what she was doing because she was holding her camera weird. And she said, Dad, Grandma couldn't hear real well, so she could kind of whisper. And she said, both you and Mom are holding Grandma's hands. I got a picture of both of you holding her hands. And I have a picture that Mindy sent to me that is me holding Grandma's hand and my wife holding Grandma's hand. And it's just one of those things. And every time I was with her, I would hold those hands. I was up in Montana sitting on a mountain, and I looked down at my hands and I said, good night. I said, that's scary. Those look like my dad's hands. And those hands look like my grandpa's hands. I got bush hands, short and fat. Amen. They just have a distinct look on them, and they are definitely bush hands. There's no way around it. And I looked at them, I thought, that's scary. I remember when my dad's hands looked like that. They still look like that. And I looked at his hands yesterday, and I thought, man, those are Grandpa Bush's hands. And it just is what it is. Have you ever wondered what Jesus' hands looked like? Have you ever wondered what it was like to feel a touch from the hand of Christ? Mindy got up to sing at the funeral on Friday, and she sang, "What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land." Whew. Now, she didn't get all the way through the second verse real well, and she didn't hit the last chorus because she was done. But it was sweet. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to feel the touch of his hand on your shoulder? Did you ever wonder, fellas, what it would like to be to shake the hand of Jesus? What it would feel like? And it's not going to feel like a dead fish either, just so you know. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to get a hug from Jesus himself? Old Brother Brian walking up those steps this morning. He came up those steps and he said, "Preacher, man, am I glad you're back." And that big old grizzly bear, Brother Stoltz, you were there. You know, he just grabbed a hold of me and I was like, "Okay, let me go." Did you ever wonder what it's going to be like to do that with Jesus someday? Tonight, I want to talk about those hands of Jesus. I think it will be a blessing to you. Number one, Jesus touched people with his hands. I want you to notice here in Matthew 19, it says he touched the children. They brought them to him and put his hands on them, and he prayed for them, and he said, "Look," and the disciples were saying, "Get these kids away." He said, "No, you let them stay here. I want the children." And he put his hands on them.
Yep.
This morning, my heart was overflowing this morning. Brother Stoltz obviously had coached the little ones, and they were jumping off the bus. And of course, every Sunday I try to greet them, and I hold the door for them, and I shake their hand and tassel the boys' hair and tell the girls how pretty they are and the boys how ugly they are and all those things. That first one jumped off the bus, and she ran up. She said, "Preacher, I missed you, and I love you." You talk about a puddle of goo, there I was. And everyone got off the bus doing almost the same thing. Oh, my soul, hugs and all that kind of stuff. It just about did me in. You know, if you can't preach after that, you're dead. Let me tell you. Boy, was so touching. But I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of it at all. Jesus touched people. He had healing in his hands. He touched a man with leprosy and healed him. You have to understand something. Leprosy was very contagious. Jesus wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty with sick people. Now, I'm in the hospitals a lot. My wife will tell you, I've got her in this habit. Every time we go to the hospital now, as soon as you walk out of room, you're hitting the alcohol stuff, you know, cleaning your hands. If I hit two or three rooms, I'm hitting it every time. It's just something I do. It's helped keep me healthier throughout the years, but I'm not afraid of it. I've been in some serious health issues, and it does not bother me. He touched a man with leprosy. The crowds would throng him. Have you ever walked through a crowd of, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but you walk through a crowd of 20 or 30,000 people and shake hands with virtually every one of them once. And I've done it many, 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 many times. I've been in so many, you know, you just don't even want to touch yourself. You've touched so many other people. And you wash your hands and you wash your hands. And yet the crowds thronged him. Bible says that he touched a blind man and healed him. Stooped down, spit in the ground, took the dirt and rubbed it in the guy's eyes and said, "Be healed," and he was healed. Took time to touch people, to heal them. Matter of fact, they came to take him away to Calvary, and Peter whacked off the enemy soldier's ear because he missed his head. He wasn't trying to hit the ear. He was trying to cut the whole head off. Say, what did Jesus have done? Had he cut the head off, put it back on? I really believe that. But Jesus reached down, picked up a bloody ear, put it on the side of the guy's head, and healed him. And that's one of the guys that was going to take him away to Calvary to be killed. His hands had a healing touch. may I say this, we need to be willing to get our hands dirty with the sick and hurting people of this world.
Yes.
I don't want to get close to them. They're dirty. Good. Jesus loves them.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank God for the bus ministry.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. I was in a church while I was away, and they had a little unruly bus kid, go figure. They've had some trouble with him. They didn't know what to do with him. I said, I do. Just needs loved on. Doesn't need criticized, needs loved on. Another little boy came the Sunday night. First time he'd ever been in church. About 8 years old, heard me preach. He didn't know what hit. I talked to him afterwards. I said, Cameron, I'm so glad you came. I said, you make sure you come back. He said, oh, I will. You know, he was there Wednesday night. And the preacher said, I can't believe that boy came back. I said, I can. I asked him to come back. Why don't you ask him to be back for Sunday? So he walked over and said, you going to be back for Sunday? He said, yes, sir. He said, good. He just needed somebody to touch him. I was shaking his hand, and I was, you know, jiggling his arm real good, and he was going like this, and he was giggling and laughing with his grandma there. It was great. You know, people need to be willing to get their hands dirty with sick people, with hurting people. You know, and this may not sound right to you, but if you listen to this, God has given us doctors and nurses to aid us, but do you realize most of the time they can't do it without touching you? It takes a touch. It takes the touch of a mother on the brow of a sick child. Mama to kiss the boo-boo. Amen? Not daddy. Because daddy's going to say, rub dirt in it. Rub that thing and go play. You know, sometimes somebody who's hurting emotionally just needs touched. Now, just so you know, when you're in my office and it's a lady, I'm not touching you. But there are things that need done, and sometimes God uses the man of God and a bottle of oil to anoint somebody and pray for them for God to heal them. The Bible says, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray over them for their healing. And that's not faith healing. It's not Ernest Angley and Oral Roberts and all those other things. But I really believe that God can do that sometimes. Now, he doesn't always, and that's fine. But there are times where it is quite appropriate. Let me ask a good question. Do people feel better because of your touch? Do people shy away from you? Or do they want to be closer to you? You might want them to be close, but if they're shying away, something's wrong. It's your touch. Number two, Jesus worked with his hands. Thank God we didn't have a little sissy britches savior who wiggled when he walked.
Amen.
The Bible says he was known as the carpenter's son. Back then, they didn't have 84 Lumber, Home Depot, and Lowe's to go get their lumber. They went out and cut their own lumber. They milled their own lumber. And if you know anything about working with wood, you work with wood long enough, you're going to get calluses, bless the Lord, or splinters, or both. Here's a man who had man's hands. He cut wood. He worked with wood. And he was known as the carpenter's son. That's not the ones that used to sing in the 70s either, Arlene. I could see it in her eyes. Jesus worked with his hands. He didn't have sissy hands. I had to laugh. Brother June, you know, when you're in cowboy country, that's a whole different breed of people up there. And Brother Stoltz, you know, you've been in Montana, and it's just a whole different breed. And this one tough old feller, I walked up, and I knew he was a tough old cow. You know, bowed legs, cowboy hat, blue jeans, and a dress shirt on, and a tie. And he's kind of walking like this, like he could get on a horse with it just riding between his legs, you know? Bow-legged. I reached out, and I grabbed his hand. I said, how you doing, sir? He said, hang on. Yeah, you'll do. He's checking to see if I had calluses. He said,
If you had calluses,
he said, you'll make the hunt. If not, you're not. You might as well quit now. I knew what he meant. And thank God I had some calluses on there, amen. And not afraid of it. We were, I think it was the first day we were at the bus. I don't remember. All the days kind of ran together. But he had one time had a wood stove in this bus. He said, that's miserable. He said, it's either 300 degrees in there or it's 20 degrees in there. He said, there's no in between. So now he's got a little gas heater in there. Well, the first night he puts it on low. I woke up and it was 39 degrees inside. I had one thin blanket about that thin, a little heavier than a sheet. And I was freezing. I was sleeping in my clothes on top of that. I got that thing pulled over my head, trying to keep the air warm going in. I mean, I was froze. I said, Doc, do you think we can put it on medium tonight? He said, oh, yeah, were you too cold? No. It's only 29 degrees to your breath in here. Unreal. I mean, you get up in the morning and you can see your breath inside. It's too cold, all right? And that's with a heater on. Then I got to the back of the bus and realized there's no seal on the back door. I mean, there's a gap in there. You can stick your thumb all the way through. No wonder it was so cold in there. I thought, man, we're going to turn that thing on high. But he had, where the chimney had gone through, he had something on the bottom that he had put through, but he wanted to put some metal and seal it up on top. And I said, well, let me do it. He said, oh, I can get up there. Well, he's 72 years old. I said, no, you're not. I said, back your truck. Let me jump up there. I'll do it. He said, well, you sure? I said, sure. So I went up there, and I'm screwing things in the metal and putting it on there. Got the caulk that puppy up, and it's not going to leak anymore, amen? He said, you're not afraid of work, are you? I said, sir, you don't know my dad. I said, if you'd have jumped up here and my dad found out about it and I didn't volunteer or I didn't jump up, I said, my dad's going to whoop me when I get back. And I said, I'm not going to put up with that. And he said, sounds like you and your dad and I get along. I said, too well. Too well. You know, we're to do God's work with our hands. You know, you teach Sunday school. You take the offering. You work on the bus. You drive the bus. You fuel the bus. You do different things around here. Work in the nursery. Work in Sunday school. We're to do things with our hands for God's work. We're supposed to be busy with God's work. Can I tell you something? Be a hard worker wherever you're at, school, home, wherever you're at, be a hard worker. I think Christians ought to be the hardest working people there are. Amen. Plain and simple. End of discussion. Yes, sir. So Jesus had working hands. Jesus touched people with his hands. Number three, Jesus had hands that served. Man, I love that. Jesus had hands that served. He used his hands to help other people. When we were in we called it the bus, the cabin, whatever you want to call it. I did a lot of the cooking. I did a lot of the cleaning because it was my responsibility in my own way to pull my own weight. Yes, sir. I went on Sunday afternoon, bought a whole bunch of groceries and took them back out with us on Monday. But when the pastor was there, made sure he had coffee every morning. Yes, sir. Made sure that he got served first. I made sure that I took care of his plate. Made sure I picked up everybody else's stuff for them. I did that with my own son. Yes. Say why? Because I believe in serving. Then it got to be a competition to see who could do it first. Well, I can eat faster than anybody, so I got done first. Amen. And when you're cooking, you can eat while you're cooking and nobody knows about it. But, you know, use your hands to serve others. You know, no job was below Jesus. You know that he took his own hands and washed his disciples' feet? I ain't touching your stinky feet. All right? Amen. But may I say something? There was no job that was below Jesus himself. Here is the Son of God who left heaven and came and washed the feet of his disciples. You talk about humility. That's it. We need to serve others with our hands. Ladies, men, we ought to serve one another. We had men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Brother Mike brought a bunch of food in. Brother Fred always brings donuts.
Yay!
Amen. The balance. Amen. Strength and beauty. Beauty and beast, whatever you want to call it. But I try to make sure that our men are cared for. Try to make sure their plates are picked up and that kind of thing. And it doesn't bother me. We ought to shake hands with everybody. I know you might get a germ. Guess what? Get a whole bunch more.
Amen.
More germs you get, the more you're going to build up resistance anyway. I've gotten way past that. Just don't put them in your mouth or in your eyes or in your nose. You'll be okay. That's what soul winning is all about. Yeah. Brother Mike's over there. Careful, you might get it stuck up there. that's what soul winning's about. Using your hands to go soul winning. Knocking on a door. That's part of it. Doing meals for others and that type of thing. Helping people out that are in need. We need to serve people. By the way, sometimes you need to serve somebody you don't even know.
Yes.
About 5:15 this morning, went across the street to Sheets to go get a cup of coffee, and there was somebody coming through the door, and I made sure that I held the door for them. They were in work clothes. He said, "Oh, I ought to be holding the door for you. You're in a suit." I said, "No, sir." I said, "You're going to work." I said, "I am too, but I work a different kind of work." I was at the airport, and there was a soldier ahead of me in line to get a meal. And I thanked him while we were in line. My son was there, and he thanked him. And he made his order, and I said, "Jeff, watch this." He said, "What?" I said, "Watch this." So the guy, I was reaching in my wallet while the guy was ordering, and as soon as the guy got done with his order and the guy said what it was, I just flipped my card at the guy and said, "I'll take care of his. Put it on mine." And he said, "Oh, you don't have to." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "You're working hard to protect us." I said, "I'm going to take care of you what I can." I think we were in Salt Lake City, a place called Smash Burgers. Never had one of those. They were pretty good, actually. But I took care of the guy's bill. Say, "Oh, you were so nice." That man's put his life on the line for us.
Yes, sir.
Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? We need to serve people. And boy, was he thankful. Good way to get a gospel track out, too, in a city full of Mormons and weirdos. I have never seen so many sodomites as I did in that one place, is Salt Lake City. Unbelievable. Nasty. Number four, Jesus had loving hands. Jesus had loving hands. Look at Matthew 19 again. "And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Do you know, you don't get people who don't love well. Children are afraid of him. Wyatt's not afraid of me. He's my buddy. Now, we play around. We play hard.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something? If somebody were hurting him, he would shy away from him. Children are a pretty good judge of character. They really are. And the children wanted to be around him.
That's right.
Those kids getting off that bus today, Brother Stoltz, you'll never know what that did for this old man, let me tell you. That little face looking up at me, "Preacher, I missed you and I love you." She came up and hugged me and walked past. She came back. She said, "Can I get another hug?" No, you're only allowed one. Wow, how sweet. You know, he touched them and they loved him and he loved them. People need to know that you love by your touch. As you shake hands, fellas, have you ever asked God to love through your handshake? I mean this. Every day, I ask God, when I shake somebody's hand, "God, please, may they feel your love in my handshake." I mean that. We ought to hold our family close to us. Folks, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. You really don't. I want to make sure that I've held my wife every day so that if it's my last day, She knew I cared. When I see my daughter, I want to make sure the last thing I do is hold her or touch her so she knows that I love her. We were leaving Pizza Hut or whatever the place we were, I don't remember, on Friday. Her and Jeff were going back to Lexington, and Mom and Dad were there, and my wife and I, and we're all going kind of separate directions at the same time. Mindy was just hanging on me. I thought, yeah, I love you. And she knows. She knows. When I saw my son, grabbed a hold of his hand and grabbed a hold of him when he came down off the mountain, and we'd been looking for him for 3.5 hours. I wanted to lay hands on him. Not for the same reason. I was so happy to see him and so mad at the same time. No, I wasn't mad. I really wasn't. I couldn't have been happier. I was just about to burst into tears just to know he was safe. I knew if he wasn't hurt, he would have made it back. I just didn't know if he was hurt. Boy, when I saw him, it was. What's the matter, Dad? It's like totally oblivious to it. I know where's at. Well, if you knew where you're at, how'd you get lost? Well, I didn't get lost. I just didn't end up where I was supposed to. Oh, my soul. I believe that you ought to hold each person in your family every day. They ought to know. I was sitting in church with my daughter last Sunday night. She reached over and put her arm through my arm and was holding my hand. And I leaned over to the toe-headed idiot and said, Nah, you can't do that. Daddy. I loved it. Needle it while I can, amen. You know, but do people know that you love them by the touch? Fellas, your wife ought to know that you love her by the touch. Ladies, your husband ought to know by your touch. Your children ought to know by your touch. Children, your parents ought to know by your touch. You get too old to hug your parents, you're too old. Good night. My grandma was 99 years old. Her children are in their 70s and near 80. You know what? Every one of them hugged their mama still. Every one. Her grandchildren all hugged her. Her great-grandchildren. Her great-great-grandchildren. Her great-great-great-great. No. you know, she lived 41% of United States history. I mean, you talk about a legacy. You get too old to love your parents, huh? Something's wrong. Now, I understand, men. When your son's 16 years old, he doesn't need you walking up and kissing him on the cheek every day. I'm not saying that, but they ought to feel your touch every day and know that you love them. There needs to be a propriety. Can't get that word out tonight, in our touch. Thank God we don't have a church where the men are hanging all over everybody else's women and vice versa. And you go to the average public school and watch young people that are hanging all over each other, and you wonder why end up pregnant. I think we ought to keep our hands off each other if we're not married to them or not related to them.
Right.
I believe in that. But when I was at the funeral the other day, good night, I hugged people I hadn't seen in 20 years. I had two cousins I hadn't seen in God knows how long, and both of them came over and hugged me. I wasn't bothered by it. They're my cousins. Matter of fact, both of them have husbands that are about 8 foot tall. Nothing to worry about. And that didn't do nothing for me other than they were my cousins. You know, I had old people hugging me. I didn't even know who they were sometimes. It's all right. But may I say this? I think there ought to be a propriety in what we do. I always try. If a husband and a wife are walking towards me, I always try to address the husband first and shake his hand before I would the ladies, if it's at all possible. But if not, I go with it, but I try to. I try to be appropriate with it. And I really believe young people ought to be taught not to be touching each other all the time.
Right.
Girls and guys don't need to be hanging all over each other when they're teenagers. Well, it's okay. We don't mean anything by it. We were teenagers once. Knock it off. We know better. I might be old, but I ain't dead. Might be snowing the roof, but there's still fire in the fireplace. Amen? I know better. We need to appropriately touch each other in our homes each day. I really believe every child should be hugged by their parents every day. Some shape, form, fashion, or another. Now, sometimes, men, you'll understand this, sometimes a teenage hug is, love you, Doc. A little punch in the shoulder. Not hard, but sometimes that's how guys do it.
Yeah.
All right, no problem. I think I told this morning, but I was at the graveside, and I had said how my grandmother, she made everybody feel like they were her favorite. It's amazing. Everybody that knew her, you were her favorite. Didn't matter who you were. And I mean, everybody felt that from her. Everybody. And one of my cousins was carrying the casket and put it at the graveside there. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what was said, but Stephen says, it's okay. It was her favorite anyway. And I was standing next to him. I kind of said, shut up. No, you weren't. I was. And we just started laughing. I mean, right there, we just started laughing at each other. And, you know, a couple of my other cousins were on the other side. They started, no, we were. You know, it just started around the casket again. And it was just one of those sweet moments. Can I tell you something? There ought to be a closeness in your home like that. You ought to hug your kids every day. You ought to hug your spouse every day. If you're home, you ought to look them in the eye and hold them close. My children, don't get mad at me, but, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I haven't sat with my wife in church in so long. When we do get to sit in church together, my kids did not sit between us.
Amen.
I sat by my wife.
That's right.
Might have two on one side and one on the other, or three on one side, or one here, one on my lap, and one, but they weren't going to sit between us. My kids... See, my wife and I kiss or hold hands. My daughter would say, Mom, Dad, old people kissing, that's just not right. I said, you better thank God for old people kissing each other. Someday you're going to think it's right. Ugh, yuck. Yeah, it's coming, trust me. My kids don't know any different. That's all they know. Can I tell you something? My son... He's preaching tonight in Florida, and he said, Dad, I got to preach on marriage. Pray for me. I said, no, I'm going to pray for your wife. Dad. It was great. And I said, son, I said, you got a legacy ahead of you. Everybody on my side of the family has been married no less than 28 years or 25 years, and some up to 60 plus. I said, you're just getting started, pup. He said, you know, all I got to do is talk about you and Mom. I said, careful now. But I'm glad he thinks that way.
Yes.
I'm glad he thinks that way. You know, one last thing and I'm done. Thank God Jesus stretched out those hands one day in a place called Calvary. Put them out on a old rugged log and they put nails in those hands for you and me. He took care of our sin with those hands. He took those very hands and after they killed him, took the blood out of those open wounds and put that blood on the mercy seat in heaven as the Lamb of God and as the High Priest. Those are the same hands that hold us for eternity and you can't lose your salvation. I don't know about you. I ask God to keep his hand on this place. I ask God to keep his hand on our church and on our ministry here. Say why? Because I want God to touch us. Brother Arcola a couple weeks ago when he preached. He texted me and he said, Doc, he said, you're truly a spoiled pastor. He said, the hand of God is on your ministry. The hand of God is on your church and your church people. He said, it's not just on one. He said, the whole place. He said, it's obvious. He said, someday I hope I can do that. He is. He just doesn't know it. He's too humble. But may I say this. I want to keep his hand on us. Jesus' hands. I looked into that casket and saw those old gnarly hands. Her face wasn't real recognizable, but her hands were. Her hands were. I looked down at those old grubby paws and realized, even if my last name wasn't Bush, all somebody had to do is look at the back of my hands and they'd know I was a Bush. I just got Bush hands. There's no way around it. How many times I have sung when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. How many times I have said to someone who's passing, if you get there before I do, will you give Jesus a hug for me? I've sent a lot of hugs ahead, but he sent a lot back, amen? Let me ask you a question. How are you using your hands? How are you using your hands? Every head bowed, every eye closed.